We continue this morning our Lord's Supper series on the book of the Song of Solomon. The text this morning will be the first five verses of chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in chapter 2. Begin reading in chapter 2, verse 8. And we will read through chapter 3, verse 5. Song of Solomon 2, beginning at verse 8, this is the word of God. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And now begins the text. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And thus far we read God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, use this word this morning to stir up in us a greater longing and seeking for Jesus and for thee and the knowledge of thy love. Where we may be complacent and lethargic, we pray that that would be replaced by fervent zeal for thee. We need this word because there is that danger for us that in our relationship with thee, it does become lethargic and we become filled with apathy instead of having a zeal in our love for thee. So use this word to stir that up within us so that in what we see in this poetry, we would learn how it is that we are to live in relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to Thee, the God of our salvation. Give strength to Thy servant as he brings this word and open our hearts as well. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this text this morning, the focus of it will be our relationship to Jesus Christ. As we've looked at the Song of Solomon, we've seen that in the Song of Solomon, there is a real living relationship between Solomon and his bride-to-be, the Shulamite. We've seen that that applies to marriage, but we've seen as well that this is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. This morning, as we look at what is expressed here in the text and the relationship between the Shulamite and Solomon, our focus will be on Christ and the church. It's not that there is no application for marriage. There is, and we'll look at that along the way very briefly, but because there's such richness here in our relationship with Christ, I want to focus on that here in this sermon. In this relationship between the Shulamite and Solomon, we find the relationship between Christ and the church. And in the words of the Shulamite in the text, we have the expression of the experience of the church. The Shulamite is expressing her experience here in searching for the one that she loved, seeking him and wanting to find him because she couldn't find him right then. But we see in that the expression for us of our experience with Jesus Christ. This here is the expression of the experience of the Christian life, seeking and searching for Jesus to know his love. And the reason that's needed is because sometimes it seems that Jesus is far away. Sometimes it seems that God's love is far away. It seems like because of our weakness and sin, that God doesn't love us and show favor to us. And sometimes in those times, we would withdraw ourselves from God. And the Word of God tells us here, that's not the answer, but instead seek. Search. Seek to know His love. Search out to know His love. Whatever the circumstances of life you may face, and whatever sins you're struggling with, search for Him and seek Him out. And so even as I prayed just a moment ago, we need this word because so easily we can have spiritual lethargy. We can be apathetic spiritually in our relationship to God. And may this word stir us up so that what's true of the Shulamite and her love for Solomon would be true for us, even in a greater way, in our love for Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we consider seeking the one whom we love. We notice first that this is a needed seeking. Secondly, that this is an earnest seeking. And then finally, that this is a seeking that finds. We find at the end of the text, the Shulamite finds Solomon. So we go to the text to understand, first of all, what the text is saying, what the Shulamite is saying here. We read in the text that the Shulamite is searching for Solomon. And this is a picture of the church seeking Jesus Christ. Now, we want to understand that in the right way, and we'll come to the explanation of that in a moment. But I believe what we have here in the text is a recurring dream of the Shulamite. We take that from the fact that she speaks from her bed in verse 1, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." We know how that can be. Some people may have some kind of recurring dream. Well, the Shulamite is expressing here a recurring dream that she has in which she is searching for her bridegroom and she cannot find him. In the previous chapter, we saw that the Shulamite was confident in sending her bridegroom away until the morning because they still weren't joined together in marriage. They were not officially husband and wife permanently in the bond of marriage. But now we read of the Shulamite searching for him and she cannot find the one whom her soul loves. And she does. She loves him, but she can't find the one whom she loves. And so we read in the text that she's searching for him in different places. First, in the dream, she's searching right there in her own home. And she can't find him there at home. And then after that, she goes out into the streets of the city. She's wandering around from street to street and all of the back alleys and everywhere where she can think of to find her beloved. but she cannot find him anywhere. She even comes to the watchmen of the city and she asks them if they have seen him. You can picture her describing her beloved to them and saying, "Have you seen a man who matches this description?" And they say, "We have not seen him." If anyone would have seen him, it would have been the watchmen who are watching over the city and know everything that is going on in the city, but they don't see him either. And so to the Shulamite in her dream here, it seems that she has been forsaken and abandoned. Now that wasn't true, but that is the way it seemed to her in this dream. And that's what she feared more than anything else, that she would be abandoned by the one whom she loved. We remember in the very first chapter that she was concerned even about her own appearance. She had dark skin in contrast to the pale-skinned women of the palace, because she grew up on the farm and she felt insignificant and very small compared to these women of the palace. But now also in the context, remember in the chapter 2, it speaks of those little foxes, and that referred to the sins that were going on in the relationship, those small sins that it can easily become very big in a relationship and bring something between two who are in love. And her great fear is that these sins, maybe even her sins, have been the occasion then for her soon-to-be husband to abandon her. She fears that maybe he has left her because of those sins, because of the way she looks. She's filled with these kinds of insecurities. But as we look at that this morning, we should see and understand that the Shulamite pictures the saved church seeking Jesus Christ, or to put it another way, believers seeking Jesus Christ. As we see a picture here in the Shulamite, we must not think that this pictures a man who by the power of his own free will seeks Jesus Christ as many would teach in our day. That's the way many would look at it, and many believe that too, that every man has a free will, every man has the ability of himself to seek Christ, and that there are so many people in this world who are really seeking Christ. And so Christ simply has to be offered to them, and then they will accept Jesus Christ. That's not what is going on here. This cannot be what is going on, because we understand in the broader context of Scripture that man is in bondage, the bondage of his will. Man does not have a free will, but a will that is in bondage to sin. There is no man of himself who seeks Christ. Every man of himself only seeks sin and departs from God and will not obey God and will not love God nor his Son, Jesus Christ. But instead, I say very purposely that the seeking is the seeking of those whom Jesus loves and saves. The very source of the seeking is the wonder work of regeneration. John 3, verse 3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In John 6, verse 44, we read, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." This is the seeking and the searching of those who are drawn by the Father, who are powerful, in whom the Father has powerfully and effectually worked so that they know the love of God and they love God as well. The Shulamite here then pictures those who are loved of God, who have covenant friendship with God in Jesus Christ, who have the experience of this as well. They know the love of God, but within that experience of the child of God, there are at times the experience as well that God is far from them. That's what the Shulamite pictures. Not what is the ordinary experience of the child of God or that which they always experience in this life. But sometimes God's people lose the sense of his love and favor. That's the very language of the Canons of Dort in Head 5, Article 5, losing the sense of God's favor for a time. The experience of God's people is that Jesus, the one whom they love, is far away from them. And they wonder, just like the Shulamite wondered, if Jesus has abandoned them. They lose the sense of God's love. They don't experience that love. And they may ask the questions that the psalmists have asked. Has God forgotten to be kind? Has He in anger removed His favor? Has He shut up His tender mercies? Is His favor gone forever? Now, on the one hand, we know from the Scriptures that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That's the truth of Romans 8. I'm going to read that this morning while the bread is being passed out, because that's what we need to hear and know, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We know that. We know that in our own minds, but yet in our experience, it may seem that our prayers aren't being heard by our Father. It may seem that our lives before God and even our worship is all vain and empty. Have you been there? Do you know that experience? Why does this happen? There's a few things that contribute to this. First of all, this may be our experience because of sin. That's Canons Head 5, Article 5. That's the context of it, where it speaks of those losing the sense of God's favor for a time. They lose the sense of God's favor for a time because they're walking in sins that wound their consciences, that highly offend God, that incur a deadly guilt. And it refers in the previous article to the sins of David and the sins of Peter. And what happens then is that God withdraws the light of His presence while we pursue the folly of our sinful lusts instead of Him. This is what the Shulamite pictures here in the text. How it is that we don't experience the love and favor of God because of our own sinfulness. That's expressed in Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. This may be because there's a particular sin in our lives that we continue to give ourselves over to, that we don't experience for a time that love and favor of God. Or it may be that there's spiritual lethargy that is set in. We're not seeking Him like a deer after water when chased, but instead we're just going through the motions. Yeah, we appear at worship and in our homes we're praying once in a while, but we're simply lukewarm towards God in our lives. We're going through the motions in our Christianity. It's not arising from the heart. And so we experience God hiding His face from us. But there can be other reasons for that too. We may experience this in the context of our relationships. We experience sometimes in our own lives wounded and broken relationships, broken friendships, shattered marriages, crippled family situations. We're wounded deeply by what other things have done for us, and we long for intimacy, we long for closeness with someone else. But what happens for us sometimes is, because we might lack that in certain relationships in our own lives, then we look at God in the same way and judge Him in the same way. Because we feel far away from someone who we ought to feel very close to. We might transpose that unto God Himself in our relationship with Him. Or, in those relationships and the struggles of life, we think with all of these burdens and hardships we bear, this must be because God is angry with us. God has turned His face away from us. And so we might come to the conclusion, based on hardship and difficulty in our lives, that God is far away from us. But it's important for us to understand this morning that even in the experience of these things, for the child of God, God governs these things to stir up within us this kind of seeking of Him that is expressed here in the text. The text here reminds us that we are to stop drinking from the stale cisterns of our own making and to look for the streams of living water, as that is expressed in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. That's what the dream that the Shulamite had produced in her. It produced a searching, a seeking, a longing for the love of her husband. And that's what God is doing for us as well. He's producing within us a seeking and a searching for Him. Even by this word this morning, by our examining ourselves in preparation for the Lord's Supper, may it be that God would produce in us this kind of seeking, that we want to know the love of God even in the midst of all of our sinfulness and in the midst of the trials that we experience in this life. It may be that God does hide His presence from us and He leaves us in the desert for a while, but He does that to expose the reality of our own sin. He does that to expose the brokenness of earthly relationships so that in all of these things we're driven to Him. He's the one whom we need. More than we need a loving husband, a loving wife, loving children, loving parents, loving friendships. Well, those things are great blessings, don't get me wrong, and there ought to be love in those relationships. But more than any of that, we need Him. And so the text is focused on that. That searching, that seeking of the child of God to know the love of God in the midst of our trials and in the midst of our sin-filled lives. And we see and understand that our God loves us too much simply to leave us in the shallow diversions and substitutes to which we often flee. We can compare what God does here then in our own lives to even what a mother might do with one of her young children. It may be that some of you mothers have a child or children that tend to wander off. You keep telling them when they're in the store, stick by me, stay right by me, hold on to the cart, hold on to my pants or whatever it may be, but you have to stick right by me. But then after a little while, you're looking at something on the shelf and they've wandered off. And so maybe to teach them their lesson, you go around the corner and they're wandering off and suddenly they realize mom's not there and they panic. And then you come around the corner again and show them, no, I'm there. You were watching the whole time. That's what God does with us. He sees us straying and wandering, but for a while, He lets us go and then He brings us back. He shows us His presence to show He loves us. Now, seek me, He's saying. Now, with that in mind, we have to understand this seeking that is set before us in the text is an earnest seeking. We take notice of the earnest, frenzied seeking and searching of the Shulamite. Now, there are those who look at this text and they allegorize the text. They give explanations like this, that the streets of the city are the ways of the Lord and the watchmen of the city, they are the elders of the church and the pastor in the church. And that this searching then is using the means of grace. Now, all of those things are right biblical ideas, but all of those things are not what the text is teaching and not what it's saying. That's to allegorize the text and to find meaning and significance where it's not found in that text. But instead, what we find here is the relentless pursuit of the Shulamite for the one whom she loved. You can almost see her in the dream here, hysterical because she cannot find the one whom she loves. Let's go back through that a moment again and see that in a bit more detail. First of all, she begins in her home. She's looking all over for her husband in the home and she cannot find him there. And then after not finding him in her home, then she goes out into the streets at night, probably in her pajamas. And she's out in her pajamas in the streets at night. It's very dangerous to be out in the streets of the city at night, but she's looking all over for the one who will be
her husband. And in her desperation, she comes to the watchman and she asks them, "Do you know a man who fits this description? Have you seen him?" And maybe they're thinking, but there's something wrong with this woman. She's gone a little crazy. And she needs some help. They could have thought that because she was hysterical in the thoughts that her loved one had abandoned her. We can compare that again to a mother who loses her child in the store. Put it the other way around. The child wanders off. The mom loses son or daughter, and then she becomes hysterical, thinking maybe someone has kidnapped her child. And so she can't even think straight, and she's not making much sense when she talks to someone about it because she's hysterical about this. That's the idea that you have here, an earnest search for the one whom she loves. The other ways to understand this kind of earnest search and seeking as well, I think of those who are driven in competition. Those who are athletic and they're in a sporting contest, whether a basketball game or a volleyball game or a soccer game. And there's a drive that one has not to let someone get around them, a drive that one has to win, a drive that one has to get to the basket or to score a goal or whatever it may be. We see that kind of drive in men and women, and that's the kind of seeking and searching that the text speaks of. It's driven. It's earnest. It's powerful. That's what you find here in the text. What we see in the Shulamite is the kind of earnest seeking that must be found in the church for Jesus Christ and for the love of God. We might ask then, what does that look like? What is this a seeking after? God teaches us here in the text to seek true love and intimacy in Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to look for, seek for in Jesus Christ. There are many who look for intimacy in earthly relationships, for example, in a wrong way. There are people, young people, who date simply because they think they need someone. They'll be empty without someone. There are many in the world today who equate intimacy with sex. Sex is everything for them. So in a dating relationship, that's all they're after. They're after sex and the feeling that it brings. There are people who want friends with benefits. They don't want friendship. They don't want love. They don't want intimacy. But the only thing that they want is what feels good to them sexually. But we're taught here that in that is not found true love and intimacy. It's not to be found, first of all, in relationships. What a hope and encouragement that is for all of us. What a hope and encouragement that is in the disappointments of our earthly relationships. What a hope and encouragement that is for those who are single in the church and don't have those kind of close relationships that others might have in marriage. And I'm not speaking just of those who have never been married, but also the widows and the widowers of the church. What hope and confidence there is that there's a greater love than that which is found in marriage, and a greater love and intimacy than that which is found in friendships. It's found in our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And because that's true, the child of God, the people of God, search then for true love in God Himself. That's the idea here of the text. And that's what you find throughout the Scriptures as well. This isn't an isolated text. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks of that in a couple of parables. He says, first of all, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure buried in a field. Remember what that man did? He went and sold all that he had so that he could purchase that field for the great treasure that was found in it. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The people of God see that great treasure in Jesus Christ and they seek and pursue that. That's also the idea of the parable of the pearl of great price, where Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a pearl of great price. And a man sold everything that he had to purchase that pearl of great price. Because the idea, of course, is that pearl gains in value. And so that's the idea, too, of what we have in Jesus Christ. We're so rich in Him. And so the idea of those parables is that we seek after Christ and the love that is found in Him. We know that a marriage relationship requires passionate, single-minded, and even risky pursuit. Well, the same is true in our relationship with God. That's what we sang of this morning. Psalm 63. Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek Thy face. That's what we do as the people of God. We seek His face. Psalm 42. As the heart, or as the deer, pants after the water brooks, so my heart panteth after Thee, O God. Think of the deer that's being hunted. And that deer is running for his life. And then he needs a drink. And so he seeks after a stream where he can have a drink to satisfy his thirst. That's the kind of passion we ought to have in seeking after God. And there's the question for us, beloved. Are we pursuing intimacy with the God of our salvation, or do we view ourselves as involved in a casual, uncommitted relationship in which we seek Him as long as it benefits us? Is that not sometimes how we look at a relationship with God? I'll seek Him as long as it benefits me. And then we remain uncommitted. It's casual. Sometimes I seek Him, other times I don't. I'm going to be seeking what I want to seek after. Do we look at a relationship with God in that way? And that must not be how we look at a relationship with God, the God who has saved us and brought us into a relationship of love and friendship with Himself. Seeking Him in love means commitment to Him. Seeking Him in love means praying. It means watching. Those are the words used in the canons. Head 5, watching and praying. It means worshiping. Is that what we're doing this morning? Did you come here this morning with the relentless pursuit that I had to be in the presence of God? I need to hear His love. There's nothing else that I could dream of doing at this time on a Sunday morning and later on a Sunday evening, and nothing else that I want to do on the Lord's Day either, but to be in His presence, to hear of His glory and His greatness and be assured of His love. Were you passionate when you prepared for coming for worship this morning? Not just in looking good, but passionate in our pursuit of coming to worship the God of our salvation. That's where it's seen. So even sitting here, we're passionate. We're passionate about hearing the Word of God. No problems with nodding off. No problems with being engaged. But instead, I've come here with a passion to hear God speak to me through His servant. The word that I need to hear. The life-giving word that I need for my soul. I came here hungry and thirsty. You kids know what that's like, to come hungry and thirsty. You probably come to the supper table every night, hungry and thirsty. You can hardly wait to eat. Want to sneak a few bites before the family all sits down to pray before we eat. Well, that's the way we ought to come here, as those who know the love of our God in Jesus Christ. But if we're honest with ourselves, there are times when we see our relationship with God simply as casual and uncommitted. And God's teaching us that's not the way it ought to be, but instead an earnest seeking of Him. The Lord this morning is teaching us to hunger and thirst for Him. God is calling us to see in Him all that we need. He wants this to be difficult for us so that we learn to seek Him as well. He's calling us to stop seeking the pollution of this world and the pollution of following after our own sinful and selfish lusts. And He's calling us to seek in Him that which we need, the knowledge of His love in Jesus Christ. May that be the pursuit of ours in all of life. It's not the pursuit to have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. This is our pursuit because we have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And I can't get enough of it. I want more and more and more of that love. But finally, we see and understand this morning that this is a seeking that finds. The Shulamite found the one whom she loves. We read that in verse 4. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. How beautiful that is. In her dream, she found him. In real life, she found him. So also we find Christ. We do. We find Christ, though, because he is the one who seeks us and finds us powerfully and effectually. Remember the disciples out in the Sea of Galilee. They were afraid out there in the Sea of Galilee. They thought they were all alone. But they found Christ because Christ came to them. That's what our God does to us. He comes to us in His love. He shows Himself to us so that we can see Him in all of His love and all of His beauty, so that we seek Him all the more. And what do we find then when we find Him, just as the Shulamite found Solomon? Well, what we find is something beautiful. What we find is what's pictured right here in the Lord's Supper. What we find is a Savior who suffered on the cross for our sins. We find the one who took on Himself the guilt and the punishment of all of our sins. We find in Him true hope because He has paid for our sins. We find in Him the one who is in heaven victorious because not only did He die, but He rose again and He ascended into heavenly glory. We find the one who loves us perfectly. As we find this morning when we come together for the Lord's Supper, we find the one who loves us perfectly. And so we hold on to Him. Just like the Shulamite held on to her future husband, we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what we do by faith. Faith embraces Christ. Faith lays hold on Christ. Faith believes what Jesus Christ has done and believes the love of Jesus Christ for us. That's what we find and that's what we hold on to this morning. Now, one other thing for us, though. What we find is connected to the seeking. Where we find in our own hearts and lives a certain lukewarmness to Jesus Christ and the love of God. Let us know that for us to have rekindled in our hearts this fervent seeking for God in Jesus Christ, the way to do that is by meditating exactly on this. By meditating on what Jesus Christ has done. By meditating on the love of God for us. So that even this morning, as we've heard a word about this and we partake of the Lord's Supper, may that stir up in our own consciousness a greater seeking and longing for Jesus Christ Himself. Let's give thanks this morning that our Savior loves us and He saves us. Where we've had doubts about that, the Word of God drives those away. Let's be assured this morning He will not lose a single one that belongs to Him. May we be assured this morning that our Savior searches us out. He will not leave us nor forsake us, but instead He comes to us and draws us to Himself. And may we be assured that's not only true in this life, but in that which is to come. So may our hearts this morning, as we partake, be filled with this same seeking that's pictured in the seeking of the Shulamite. Seeking God and His love in Jesus Christ. And may we hold on to Him by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, give to us the grace and strength we need to seek Jesus Christ. And in seeking, may we find Him this morning and see Him in all of His love and beauty. Be assured of forgiveness we have in Him, and be assured of Thy perfect and unchanging love for us in Him as well. Now bless us, Father, as we partake, and may Thy name be glorified in and through this. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.